And welcome, episode, I think 97 of the Talk Yaki podcast. Luke's
so
not
close
here
to 99.
Because, and so close to 100. How did we make it so far? We got to do a 100th special. So yeah, it's Ty, Luke, no, not Luke, Ty, Martin, Eric, and Nick, our CTO, Chief TikTok Officer Nick. He just made that joke. I stole it from him. Luke isn't here because he said there are too many people.
And basically, today he's too lazy to manage multiple audio streams. Is the conclusion.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite producer Luke here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple. Visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
So we have some topics this week. Aaron Dell ran a player. We got a goalie here. Yeah.
I just want to say that our sound things are not moving at the bottom. Is this bad?
No, I see it. I see it fine. I think it's just
for everybody.
Thing, Martin.
Yeah. It's just what you're saying.
Just my A.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you though. When you're recording, I see you.
Okay. That's good.
So yeah, we're going to talk about how Aaron Dell ran Drake Batherson and how goalies should be free game.
Nope.
That's why Nick's here to say why they shouldn't be. Talk a little about the Flyers and, you know, who could have seen this coming. They lost 13 in a row after losing 10 in a row earlier in the season. And
then we have a bunch of other smaller topics, coaching votes for the Jack Adams. We got some trade rumors, and then we'll go
so
from there.
Before we get started, Eric wasn't here last week. To those, you know, those loyal listeners, you realize Eric wasn't here. His Wi-Fi was cut out because if you don't recall, a snow plow drove into it.
Yep.
A lot happened last week. Eric, my question to you is, you said your internet was out for about 24 hours. Did you still have to work?
Yeah.
They said, bitch, you can hotspot.
So my issue wasn't that. It's that almost at the end of the workday, I ran out of data. So I was going into my extra, because all my work calls are on Zoom.
Yeah.
So it's literally so much. It's all video calls. So it's so much data. Every single meeting's 300, 400 megabytes of data. So it was fucking it got to 4 p.m. and I was done. And I was like, fuck, I had 200 megabytes left, and I still needed to work for another couple hours. So I was like, this is the only internet I have. And then I don't know when I'm going to have internet tomorrow. So I was like, no, I'm not doing the podcast. It's going to be so fucked. I'll get $40 in data overages, and I'm going to want to kill myself. So, yeah.
Expense that to the city of Markham snowplow operator.
Except it wasn't the city of Markham guy. It was our personal guy. Which
even worse. Oh.
Yeah, so expense it to him maybe. But yeah, I shouldn't say kill myself on Bell Let's Talk Day. But
yes, that's true. Happy Bell Let's Talk Day. I think we did another episode on Bell Let's Talk Day a couple years ago.
Yeah, we did before the pandemic, I feel.
Yeah.
I remember we had a Bell Let's Talk.
Yeah, we did.
Day.
And it was
But now also everyone's really against Bell Let's Talk.
Yeah.
Recently, because they fired a bunch of people a week after Bell Let's Talk.
Yeah.
and then fired Dan O'Toole.
Yeah.
Commenting on that.
Yeah. They fired 200 people with 30 minutes notice. And it was, But
what a
mess.
Now
everyone's against it.
Hashtag Bell is canceled.
Hashtag Rogers, let's talk.
Rogers,
I don't see. I don't know about you guys, but I don't see as many people posting about it.
Yeah, I saw a lot less this year.
Because literally,
someone else needs
to
jump on it.
Yeah, yeah. They would put Bell, let's talk after every tweet. It wasn't about anything. It was just you tweeted that day. You put Bell, let's talk at the end.
Yeah, and then you put on your Instagram stories 18 times and
send Snapchats.
Yeah. But I haven't had anything. There's literally nothing. So I think they've learned their lesson, or maybe they haven't. I don't know.
So another point that we needed to make. I don't know if Luke announced it to you guys, but he got a job. which means that unfortunately he won't be able to focus on the Talking Hockey podcast page anymore.
Shame.
Which died about a month ago.
Which died like 2 months ago, like 3 weeks after he made it in the first place, which I knew would happen when he's first created it. But I wanted to be optimistic and not say that to his face, but that's the point.
So now that we talked about our last week in heaven, let's talk about hockey, like how we usually have our 10 minutes of banter.
No. So we'll start with Aaron Dell because that's the hot topic, and Martin wants to go on a rant, I'm sure, and he's emotional, and then Nick's going to tell him that he's wrong.
I don't have a rant. Ty sounded more like he had a rant than me.
Okay.
Ty had him in fantasy. Are you both have him in a fantasy?
Well, I'm a big Drake Batherson guy. Scout Ty was always a big Drake Batherson fan. Love seeing a guy, you know, come in late round draft pick and suddenly, you know, score 30 goals.
I do kind of agree with where Ty was coming from in the chat, because he was basically saying, hey, if goalies can hit, then
that wasn't even a hit, though.
Hit them.
Like that, yeah. It was like
that wasn't a hit, though. I mean, it was, but it's not like that wasn't a legal hit.
Well, no, clearly not. It was a 3-game suspension hit.
Tried,
So,
I mean, I'm sure everyone's seen the clip, but like he tried to make it look like accidentally, on purpose sort of thing. Like, oh, I didn't see him coming, but he like clearly turned his head, stuck his leg out so that Batherson couldn't, you know, press on the forecheck to the guy who was playing the puck to. I just think that's like a bush league.
Greasy.
Move.
Yeah.
I mean, like there's no defense for that as a goalie. Like I know that like sometimes you can get heated. I mean, he's like an AHL goalie. He let in 4 goals already.
I agree with you there. Like he was sad.
Usually as a goalie, if you're mad and upset and you want to go after the other team, you wait till they're in front of your net and you like hack them. Like you give it to the guy in front of the net. That seemed more targeted because like you don't just do that as a goalie. Unless the guy, like I don't know if the guy did something to him earlier in the game, but like that, you don't just do that when you're pissed off. So like that was just out of line.
He stuck the leg out and tripped him in there, right? Like that's just totally dirty. And
Martin, if you're typing an email right now, stop.
Yes,
I can
stop
hear
doing
you.
That. I know you can hear you, or mute yourself. I can just hear you bashing those keys, Martin.
I literally just. Anyways, Nick, continue.
This is how different the microphone is, though, because I could type stuff way like all the time before.
Martin figured out that you can change your audio input settings, so he had his mic plugged in, but it wasn't actually being used.
No, I don't know what this is, man.
And then it was on like the lowest possible setting, and now he increased, and then he joined the call and increased it by 100% and was screaming in our ears. No. Anyways, Nick, continue. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely not a legal hit. I can see why everyone thinks it's free game on goalies now. That definitely does not look good for goalies. But I mean, at the same time, I mean, if your goalie's way out in the middle of nowhere, then yeah, I mean, I think they could be free game.
Yes.
Like, you can, if it's a clean hit, if they're handling the puck like a player would, then that's fine. But like, in terms of like open ice hitting and stuff like that, I feel like it's a little like it's not like an actual, like not an actual player. Like, I don't know, if I'd say it's free game, but then if a goalie's handling the puck behind the net, like in the trapezoid, you can't touch them.
Yeah.
That's like where they're safe. Cause then that's just, you know, a little overkill. But if they're out in like the sideboards, you know, like some goalies skate out and play the puck way out to try and beat the player down, I mean, they can take a hit at them, but then if it's going to be like, say,
you're going to get into a fight though, player, regardless.
Yeah.
Like, well, yeah, you're going to
hit the goalie. Yeah.
You, but you're not going to get a penalty or suspension for like running into the goalie.
Yeah. So Nick, what was your when you were pissed off after letting in a couple goals? You what's your go-to?
My like, go-to
is it like a ball, a cup check? Is it you know, is it the slash to the back of the knees?
Yeah, I never did that. I did a lot of slashes to the back of the knees. My favorite was, you know, get a little one-handed slash right behind the knees so they drop. And then I'd give him a cross check after that. One time, this guy wasn't going down, and I just like about like 5 big like just chops right in the back of the leg, and the ref started catching on to him and was getting pissed off at me. I've gotten a couple penalties for that, but I mean, you know, nothing like what Dell did back in. That was a little
that like it, and the guy's going full speed in. Like that's the last thing that you ever expect. Cause he was going in hard on the forecheck, player behind the net, trying to get the puck. And, you know, full speed. Unfortunately, I think is it a high ankle sprain? I wouldn't remember, it probably is.
It looked pretty bad.
Yeah, I don't think they've announced.
They just said ankle injury.
So, unfortunately.
We'll miss all-star game. Yeah.
Yeah, he's an all-star this year. A fifth round draft
pick. Well, he's on Ottawa.
Well, he was named. Well, no, but he's been Ottawa's best player, I'd say.
He's good. Is he going to go down as an all-star in like history books, or is he just not considered an all-star?
No, he I think he would because he was named to the team. Like okay, Ovechkin went 2 years ago, I guess,
Ovechkin
was named to the team, but he didn't go.
Being an all-star doesn't mean anything anymore. You're the best on your team, but guess what? Like they chose you because they had to pick someone from your team to be on the roster. So, like it doesn't really mean
Drake right Batherson obviously wouldn't be there. But
there's a lot of teams without like that wouldn't have a guy there, and there'd be a lot of players who are a lot better, and it'd be a lot more competitive.
Colorado would have half of them. Players. Florida and Tampa would have the other 20%. And
like, I don't care if that's like, if it's just mainly like a couple teams with a lot of guys there, like at least it's the best of the best. Like, cause we're not getting the Olympics. We're not getting World Cup of Hockey or anything like that. Like it's the only time where you'll see the best on best, and you can't even get that with the All-Star games.
And it's not even like best
on
best.
It's not best
on
best. Cause it's not real hockey. It's just them skating around.
This is a sidetrack. Maybe I'll bring it up later. Never mind. Famous Thai sidetrack. Let's not do that. I'm going to keep it on board because Luke isn't here. I am the producer. I don't know what you do about these goalies, man. They think they're so tough out there. They hack people in the back of the legs, like Nick said.
No, you do that with no repercussions.
They take players out.
Players do that all the time. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but goalies get hacked at too, right? Like they have the puck. Players
hack each other.
Sticking their sticks in there. You know, like goalies get hit quite a bit in game regardless, right? People slam into them. You have Chris Kreider running around into Carey Price all of a sudden killing him. And
yeah, see, that's really bad.
Goalies do face, like, to be fair, a fair bit of...
Goalies are in very vulnerable situations.
They're very vulnerable. There's like eight guys around them and they're just lying on the ground like every time.
The only thing I'm actually like a little anti-goalie is with goals, because the idea that you can't try and really shove a puck into the net, like if it's right in front of the goalie's pad and the player like shoves it in, that's goalie interference.
That is ridiculous.
If you're moving the goal, I think that's ridiculous. I think like what else are you supposed to do? So I think some of those are just stupid.
Do you guys think? Because I think you said Dell got 3 games, right?
Yeah. That's.
Do you think that's too small?
I think that's fair.
That was a fair one.
Three games.
He did it.
Because Drake Batherson's done for the season,
or done for a good portion
of the season.
TBT.
If I mean, you know, the way it looked. I know you can't tell everything from the way it looked, but looks like he's gone 20 plus games.
I read it was a high ankle sprain.
If it's just a sprain, he 10 games, whatever.
It's probably out a couple months, 6 to 8 weeks, I'd say.
It doesn't matter for Buffalo that Dell's gone. I mean, they don't have any goalies, but they're not doing anything. And Dell was like their fifth goalie. I mean, three of their goalies are injured. Hauser's doing well.
It's in a meaningless game between two teams that aren't making the playoffs.
I think it's Hauser and Subban now. I think Subban comes back.
Well, whatever, Nick. It doesn't really matter because they suck anyway. So
Oh yeah, I forgot about this whole racial incident thing. I forgot that might have been.
That's a topic to talk.
I feel like
about
that's
too.
A topic we want Luke for though, because
that's true.
Like Luke's very passionate about that stuff. Not that
we'll bring him.
Not that we all don't care, but
Luke's the most well-spoken about it. Is maybe the best way to put it.
Yeah, he is.
We don't know how to convey our thoughts. Very well, as you can tell.
Ty's gonna get himself canceled one of these days.
Exactly. So we need
Ty gets himself canceled on a weekly basis.
We need our PR Luke Wester.
Eric, I think your house is on fire.
Okay, oh, it's just humidifier because it's dry.
He's vaping. He's hot. He's vaping. And
yeah, I'm just constantly vaping, but I'm too lazy to put in my mouth, so I just have it. Just breathe it in as it comes.
For the Aaron Dell suspension, though, when was the last time a goalie got suspended? I was trying to look it up. Jamie McLennan got suspended.
Oh, yeah, because that was a while ago. Yeah, he was actually crazy, though. Your Noodles. Boy Noodles, man.
Yeah.
He was, like, purposefully, like, they were down, like, 6-0. Kiprusoff got pulled. They put him in net, and his goal was to just, like, go out there and injure somebody. So he took a two-handed slash to some, I don't even remember who it was, but, like, to the guy's gut.
It's always so funny seeing how many of the commentators are just old fucking nut jobs that used to play. Like, not that it's not like the most of them aren't the skilled guys. They're all like the fucking.
Oh, no, hey, Jamie McLennan's our boy, friend of Talking Hockey. Yeah, he said I was the goalie expert.
He approves of Talking Hockey.
Yeah, this is my note. Jamie McLennan knows nothing. He approved your list.
No, Jamie McLennan is great. He's a friend of the show.
He is a friend of the show.
He's a
friend
great.
Of the TikTok show specifically.
I watch. No, he's a friend of the show, and I watch Overdrive all the time. He's great. He has a lot of great takes.
I've been listening to Overdrive a lot.
I love listening to them.
Really? I used to listen all the time. I haven't listened to it in like a year though.
Jamie gets pretty quiet though. I don't know. He only talks really about hockey, and most of his hockey takes are like the best.
No, his goalie takes are great.
I
need to defend me and Jamie McLennan right now. Put this on the record. When you posted our top goalie list.
I think it's Jamie McLennan and I.
All right, whatever. When you posted our goalie list at the start of the year and Bobrovsky was on there, me and him both said he was good enough. Like, he's going to bounce back. Everyone attacked us for that. Everyone thought Spencer Knight was going to be their starter. He was not going to do well. Now he's a Vezina candidate.
You did call Bobrovsky's bounce back. So I do respect that choice. That was a good call on that. A lot of other things, not so much. But Bobrovsky, you got right.
He probably thought you were like some 8-year-old kid.
He was just trying to be nice. He was like, oh, this like 8-year-old kid, this little teenager, he wants me to
play his goalie list. His parents gave him $20
He wants daddy's approval.
Oh, this is good. This is funny.
Now we make fun of
Nick. I told him about Talking Hockey, you know.
Talking Hockey's my favorite. Are you like a special needs kid? Hockey's my favorite.
No,
my
I said I was part of Talking Hockey.
This is my goalie list.
He's on. It's one of the Make-A-Wish kids.
my wish is to join the Talking Hockey podcast.
And sorry, get Jamie McLennan to approve my.
This is getting us canceled. I'm sorry.
Okay. Anyways, moving on from Aaron Dell. Then I think we covered.
It
suck for Batherson.
I mean, there's no repercussions. A lot of times when like players injure another player, they have to go and fight the next game or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Or Aaron Dell is gonna just. I don't know. I guess the only way you can get payback or get your revenge is to light him up again, but.
Well, yeah. He's not going to be in the league when they play again. He's an AHL guy. They get their goalies back.
He doesn't really. I mean, he's an AHL / NHL goalie guy, too. Right.
Pretty sure it impacts his money he'll make a lot.
Well,
missing, like, getting suspended 3 games. That's where.
Yeah, because his AHL contract probably.
No, but he would. Yeah, so he would get paid. He has to miss 3 NHL contract games. Like. So that's a big deal for him.
Anyway,
it's a lot more money.
Moving on to Philly.
And now we'll be back after a word from our sponsors. And now we'll get back into the show.
They lost what Ty said, 13 games in a row. I think they're 0-17 and like 1 in their last like 18 games or something like that.
They had a 10 game losing streak earlier in the year as well, and then they fired Vigneault and replaced him. And I think they won a couple of games.
Vigneault wasn't a great coach, but he obviously wasn't the issue or the only issue. They're 0-8-2 in their last 10. They're last in the Metro. They're almost like they're almost last in the Eastern. They're ahead of three teams, I believe.
I would say not almost last. Montreal's pretty dead last. You can't get close to them.
That's fair.
But like actually, the thing is that like, okay, Montreal starting the season
23 maybe, points.
Yeah. Montreal starting the season games, maybe wasn't trying to, you know, wasn't trying to tank, but now they're very clearly trying to tank, right?
Price called the season quits, so yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. Can't really say that. I mean, I don't think that's fair to say.
No, he could have came back. He just decided to completely reset his rehab. What he like?
Well, I mean, what does he want to
rehab? I think if he wanted to come back, he would
on his knee. That's what I meant. That's what I was going after him for. No.
Oh my god.
Going after him for complete like he's redoing, getting his knee healed again. But I mean, he's already. Like there, I think he's like, just.
If Montreal was competitive, he'd come back.
Yeah,
right. We all know that.
I think if the Olympics were going down, he'd or come that. Back.
Yeah, like, that's true.
It's mostly the Olympics, I would say, that was like
competitive. If they're making a playoff run / Olympics run, he'd be there. But since neither of those are happening, you know, 8 wins in 41 games, there's no reason to come back and play for Montreal right now.
But
it could be huge for him. Like, he could come back next year sick.
Healthy.
Man, if you think about it, for a goalie, like, taking a whole year off at his age is, like, a good thing as opposed to for players. Because as we've seen with a lot of goalies,
I'm not sure about a good thing. You do want game time and practice time and everything. Like
yeah, he's going to need a decent amount of
AHL
games.
AHL time, like...
You're talking about like 4 AHL games for a rehab stint, like a conditioning stint is a max of 4 or 5 games.
Yeah.
And then that's still totally different than
NHL.
This is also Carey Price. He's not an average fucking goalie. Like, I think this is actually big. Like, I think he could come back next year and have a big year. If he comes back.
But it's going to be tough at the start of the season.
I still don't think Montreal's competitive next year in any case.
Yeah, it's not going to change anything. What's Montreal going to do?
Plays him into a good trade option. Like, he's a pretty good trade piece.
What they need is Price to come back next year, kill it, and then hopefully trade him somehow and get.
Well, they can afford to retain contract for coming years because they're not.
I mean,
there's
still like 5 years left on
that. If you're retaining, like, if you're retaining half, that's $5 million. You're rich. $5.25 million. You're retaining
not half. They're not going to retain half, but
Price, I mean, retaining like $5 million.
Look at any team though. Like what team could take
5 or 6 years left?
What team is taking a 35-year-old goalie with, you know, years left?
Hey, Florida signed Bobrovsky.
Even at $7 million.
Yeah, like this is what I'm saying. Bobrovsky
Price will
got signed at.
Or sorry, he'll want
to
go to
Lou Lamoriello. Lamoriello loves sending old guys to big deals. I don't know. Like,
Carey Price in the Islanders could be huge if Trotz is still there.
I mean, they have Sorokin. They don't need Price.
They have Sorokin.
Yeah, but I don't know. I can't think of a team off the top of my head that like needs Price.
There are a lot of teams need goaltending. Buffalo,
Buffalo's already competitive, right?
FYI.
Yep.
It's only for 3 more years after next year.
So 4 more years.
4 more years total. Yes. Yeah.
Well, okay, the only competitive teams that need a goalie, basically Edmonton, Washington, and Colorado. Like, those are the three teams that could use better goaltending.
Though I think Colorado's goaltending can.
Yeah, I think Kemper's figured it out once he's stopped being injured.
Colorado's not as bad, but
yeah, I think Nick, you're right. Capitals, Oilers, are really the only two.
But I don't see any way that the Oilers fit Carey Price with that.
I mean, they'd have to make some moves, but they also do need to make some moves, so that might
anyway,
be.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's a whole nother conversation.
Okay. Yeah. So, what I was trying to say about the Flyers is that like they were not trying to tank. Like, you saw what they did this offseason.
They were trying to be good.
Ristolainen,
Ryan Ellis, Rasmus Ristolainen.
Ellis has played 4 games, just FYI.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's the difference maker, but like
he's not
4 games.
Ellis doesn't take a team that has negative 40
Of course,
something different. Negative. What is it? 42 goal differential, but you know, a couple goals he saves for sure on there, and adds a couple
goals he creates. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but like so, it isn't the difference between like here's the difference. The Flyers could be minus 42 goals, or they could be minus like 35 goals.
Yeah,
maybe if and like I mean, best case scenario.
I think like, they've had a deal. Problems with injuries, though. Like Wade Allison, if he was there at the start of the year, they'd be doing a lot better. Okay. That's true.
40 goals for Wade Allison.
He came back and he got injured again, unfortunately, but he'll be back soon. And, you know, I think he's going to be big for them next year, for sure.
But, like, they brought and then Cam Atkinson, they traded Voracek for. But, like, you know, you see them in the bottom of the division. Anyone looking at this thought that, you know, Columbus would be at the bottom, you know.
Yeah,
they thought that Columbus would have been
at
maybe.
The bottom. I don't think Columbus maybe was Devils. Be at the bottom.
Yeah, Columbus would have been. Columbus has had.
I mean,
no
if you looked at like right, like you'd think the Flyers. I didn't think the Flyers were going to make the playoffs. I'm pretty sure I predicted they wouldn't make the playoffs, but I didn't think they'd be last.
You think they'd be in like the middle? Butt
jackets,
yeah.
You know, maybe even the Devils. They'd be around like you know somewhere from 5 to 6 is where I kind of would have thought they'd be. Right.
Yeah.
The Rangers are, you know, like, you know, we're going to talk to some stuff about the Rangers later on, but the Rangers are on the complete other end of the spectrum, right? Like completely overperforming, but the Flyers also have quite a few guys out, right? Like they have Kevin Hayes out, Joel Farabee out, you know, Derek Brassard isn't exactly a major loss, but Derek Brassard out.
Wade Allison.
Thompson out. Wade Allison. They have Sean Couturier out and then Ryan Ellis out. So they're, like, it's not just bad team. It's, you know, Sean Couturier, number one center. Ryan Ellis, number one defenseman. Joel Farabee, top six winger. Kevin Hayes, arguably a you know, low-end 2C, low-end 2C, high-end 3C type thing.
Wade Allison.
Those are core pieces, right? Like, imagine any good team. Imagine the Leafs without Austin Matthews, Nylander, and freaking, I don't know, whoever their third line center is at any point. Okay.
Yeah.
You know? Like it's, camp, yeah. You know, they're not negative 43 goals or whatever, but they're not doing too hot. So that, to be fair, but also they did a terrible job in the offseason.
And right? And did you hear that they wanted to, like their CEO or whatever, or owner came out and said that they wanted to keep Ristolainen because he has 1 year left, and they said the goal is to keep him. So I mean,
yeah.
If they're smart,
so they're gonna extend him for another 5, 6, 7 years at $5 million or something like that. He's making 5.4 right now.
If they're smart, they trade everybody this year, right? They pull at Arizona, just trade everybody. It's a lost season. You're not coming back from this rebuild for hopefully 2 or 3 years. I mean, you still have the building blocks there. I mean, Carter Hart's picked it up this year. I mean, you still have Ryan Ellis, who's great. I think he might be a little.
Philly is in such a tough situation. Like, I don't really know what you do there.
Well, like, Giroux's a rental this season. You even though he's your captain or whatever, you find the best deal for him, and you move
for
him.
Sure.
Ristolainen's still a rental,
but I think they're keeping him. Their whole team is built for winning now. Like, there is no. There's not a lot of rebuild potential there. Like Van Riemsdyk, 2 years left. Kim Atkinson, 4 years left. They have Travis Konechny locked in. They have Sean Couturier locked in. Kevin Hayes locked in. Yeah, there's not a lot of rebuild potential. They have Ryan Ellis locked in. Like,
Eric, I think
it's hard
to
say rebuild. There's no rebuild potential. They can't rebuild.
Well, they have hopefully their goalie. Even in 2 or 3 years, Carter Hart still is probably their best option in net,
yeah.
Right? You'll still have Ryan Ellis, even at 34 years old, should still, you know, I don't know how old he is now, but like, you know, somewhere around there, 32, 33 years old.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
He's
had some pretty major injuries, like
yeah.
multiple years.
But he's still been, when
Ryan,
he plays, he's great.
Yeah. Ryan Ellis has the type of game that can like work well long term as he ages, but injuries
but
is a different thing.
Does his body have it? Does his
yeah,
body have
yeah.
that?
Yeah, so his type of game works, but his injuries, especially for a smaller defenseman that needs really good mobility, that's a problem because Ryan Ellis thrives on his mobility, right?
Like look at Subban. Like Subban, exactly. I think, is
dead from injuries.
Like, look that's probably the reason at any elite defenseman that that loses a little bit of mobility, right? Carlson.
Eric Carlson.
Well, you thought that Carlson's until this year.
Good example.
You thought that Carlson's, until this year, though.
Carlson still has a great offensive game, but his defensive game has fallen off the earth, basically.
Carlson has other issues in his life, too, but like...
Yeah, but still, like, that it's just losing mobility, and so if Ryan Ellis keeps, like, he's had quite a few bad injuries, if he loses any of that, that contract starts to look bad really quickly.
But, I mean, you still have... I'm here. Okay, well, I'm frozen. Your video's frozen. So, I think that you still have Joel Farabee as a good, you know, building block. He's looking like one of the top players from, you know, his draft class. I'm looking at, you know, their roster. You trade Giroux. I think you try to move Konechny as well. Like, they've been rumored to want to move him. He's taken a step back from, like, he's taken a step back two years in a row, man.
Yeah, that's not good.
It's probably best to move on from him rather than
I drafted him as a rebound candidate this year, and that has not fucking happened.
And then, you know, you probably move. Maybe you consider, I mean, Couturier is great to have on your team, but is he going to be great to have on your team when you're ready to be competitive again? Probably not.
I mean, they could tear it down.
That's what they should do.
It's just unlikely that they say, I'm going to trade Couturier when he's about to enter a new deal. They can't trade Hayes. That contract's atrocious. There's no way someone's taking on 5 years left of $7 million. But
if Philadelphia was thinking ahead, I would say they should do a quick little retool.
But how?
You get rid of Giroux. You don't re-sign with Ristolainen.
Is it confirmed that they're even trading Giroux? Because I'm hearing that's still up in the air. Last time I heard,
I think they want to resign him.
Yeah.
And
that's stupid. Like, they need to trade that guy because he gets a good return.
I think Van Riemsdyk also can go.
I think there's
teams that would still grab him. I think Cam Atkinson still has some value in the league.
And you could easily get, like, young guys that could be coming up. And then you keep, like...
You just give more time. Atkinson. You let Morgan Frost, Joel Farabee... You let Cam York get more minutes on D. You let Travis Sanheim take over on that defense a little bit more.
Provorov has also taken a huge, huge step back. That's something else that I wanted to say. That's a concern with them.
Provorov's been a major concern. Like, that's been a huge L for them. Like, he was better as a rookie than he is now, which is not a good sign for Philly's development team.
Yeah, they have some good prospects.
Philly's always drafted pretty well to really well. But it's like a lot of these guys, man, like they're not developing them very well. Like, Provorov shouldn't be this bad. Like, his contract's big, $6.7 million for the next 4 years, and he's been atrocious for 2 years now, basically.
Part of that could be the coaching, not gonna lie. And I mean,
last year
Carter Hart was awful.
Yeah, and then you guys are forgetting, not to be a dead horse here, but Wade Allison is like a 20-30 goal scorer.
Oh my gosh.
Next year, he comes in. If he stays healthy, he's scoring at least like 25 goals. 20 to 30,
at least 20, 30 goals 25 goals.
Yeah, I mean, his first year, his first...
On a Philly team that tears it down? I don't know about that.
Last year, he had 14 games. He scored 4 goals. And then he scored 3 goals.
So therefore, 82 games, 25 goals.
Well, if he stays healthy,
I generally do think he has 20 goal potential. I'm actually not going to argue. I don't know about 25 goals.
Like, the next season.
I agree 20 goals is there in the cards if he's in the right situation. I just question whether Philly's actually going to have the right situation for him.
Yeah, I mean, they were throwing him up and down the lineup when he was in, like, first line, second line, third line. He was going all over the place.
Philly also doesn't have like a huge amount of cap space going into next season too. Like, they lose Giroux, but they have to re-sign Frost, your boy Wade Allison. They have to re-sign Ristolainen.
They're gonna re-sign Ristolainen, and I think Morgan Frost, I don't think, has taken enough of development to expect more than like $1 million.
I think the conclusion for me is if they do re-sign Ristolainen, it gives me no faith in the management at that point. Because there's one thing to make the mistake of making that trade. It's another thing to double down on that mistake and re-sign him after he's already been terrible, after he's been terrible before. Like, that says everything you need to say. If they re-sign him, there's no proper retool coming. There's no proper rebuild coming. It's just going to be more mediocrity / crap, basically, is all I can say.
It seems like a team that would have done well in like the early 2000s, like how it's built right now. That makes sense. Like, I've always looked at the Flyers as a team that's like old, and or this year at least they kind of seemed like they were like old and slow, and they had their, you know, your big defenseman like Ristolainen logging huge minutes even though they suck. It would have won you games in like 2004.
I mean, yeah, the Ristolainen has a lot of those characteristics that GMs like, right? Like, he's huge, he plays the body, he blocks a lot of shots, he hits a lot. Like, he has those prototypical.
And he's right-handed.
Yeah, and he's right-handed too. So that's the draw to him. And yeah, I don't know. Anyways,
righties
I don't have much more to say about Philly, but
you either shoot right or you shoot wrong, right, Nick?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, so on to I wanted to talk a little bit about Lafreniere. So Nick, were you the one that was making you made the 2026 New York Rangers roster?
Yeah,
right?
I just posted on the TikTok if you guys want to check that out, the listeners here. I have my projected third line. I mean, it's not doing too, he's a third line right now, actually. So I mean, it's not too far off. He's not doing well, and I mean, he's not really taking a step forward from last year. I think he's actually doing worse than he did last year. So he for some reason finds it like a next level next season or something.
To be fair to him, so if you look at, so let's look at his second season, right? So this year, if you look at his ice time, right? He's been playing, 13 minutes a night on average, give or take, right? If you look at the other first overall picks, and there's a wide range of really good guys, you know, McDavid, Matthews, McKinnon, and then guys that completely flopped out, right? Yakupov. As an example, let's take 2010 to 2020, right? Mm-hmm. Hall was playing 18 minutes a night in his second year. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins was playing 19 minutes a night in his second year. Yakupov was playing 14 minutes a night in his second year. McKinnon was playing 18 minutes a night. McDavid was playing gigantic minutes.
But if you look at how those guys were performing, they were performing well. Yakupov wasn't just
performance is a function of usage and opportunity, right?
And he got lots of opportunities last year.
But he didn't really. He never got played in the top six, really. He was never actually had really a top six opportunity because he's always been blocked by Panarin, Chris Kreider, right? So he's never had that opportunity. And so Nico Hischier, 18 minutes a night. Hughes, 19 minutes a night, right? I don't think anyone would argue that Lafreniere, going into his rookie year, had a major difference between him, Hughes, Hischier, as
Hughes wasn't the top line guy before. Picks. Like, he wasn't doing too well, and then he kind of figured it out, and now he's the top line guy. Like, but I mean, it took him a little bit too to figure it out, but who knows what will happen with
the Rangers with their two top two picks in back to back years, both never got the opportunity, and they have a history of doing this. I mean,
the Rangers for a decade.
Yeah, Elias Anderson, for example, 2017 first round pick.
Just bad drafting.
Sure, but they never gave him the opportunity. Like, they played him, you know, when he was 19, 20 years old in the league, and they played him 2 minutes a night and then scratched him and wouldn't send him to the AHL. Eventually he requested a trade. I think he did get a trade. Or he went to Sweden, back to Sweden. 2018 was Kravtsov, I think.
Kravtsov.
Who now also requested a trade, same sort of thing. Like, up and down AHLs, healthy scratch in the NHL, sit in the press box when he does play. It's just a fourth liner. 2019, Kaapo Kakko, threw him out there, playing fourth line minutes as like a second overall pick and hasn't gotten the opportunity really. And now Lafreniere.
Well, he has been playing the first line this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I mean, he's not performing. I mean, but also look at how he's played in his first kind of 3 years, right? Like Capo Caco. There were a lot of people who were like, you know, this guy should go number one over Jack Hughes. And I mean, look at Jack Hughes. I think you just mentioned it.
It was honestly ridiculous at the time.
Yeah. But, Caco.
That's besides the point.
But the Rangers have been doing this with their draft picks. Those are just like off the top of my head. There might have been some before, but like they just don't play their rookies. They don't play their young players.
They don't give them the opportunity. And the thing is, the Rangers shouldn't have had Caco or Lafreniere.
Yeah,
right? They jumped exactly. 10 spots, 12 spots, whatever the hell that was, right? So if it was a prototypical bad team, if it was Detroit, if it was the Senators, if it was whoever is in the bottom.
Arizona, the worst team.
Arizona, right now. Buffalo, the Flyers even apparently because they suck. You know, like he'd get 18 minutes a night because what else do they have? Right,
he wouldn't get 18 minutes a night on the Flyers. Just FYI,
yeah, not on the Flyers, but Arizona, Buffalo, Ottawa, so the list goes on. All the most terrible teams in the league, he'd be Montreal. Getting those minutes. Right, Montreal, Detroit, like Lucas Raymond stepped into the league and Seattle. Is playing 17, 18 minutes a night now. Right, and obviously he's performed, so it's a little bit different than Lafreniere, but. It's not like going into the last 2 years, Lafreniere hasn't been a better player than Lucas Raymond was.
Well, I mean, Caco, right? When he got drafted, he was pretty excited to be in New York, wasn't he?
I mean, well, he was excited, but he didn't get the opportunity.
No,
so
I'm joking.
You
know.
They still haven't given
Remember
him.
That video of him?
Do you?
Where he was not pumped up at all. He was like, oh, I'm here.
I don't remember that.
He's like, it was like a video of him in New York. He was like the... It was kind of awkward to watch.
anyways, but, the only point is it's like when you're a skilled player, you need a lot of puck touches. If you don't get a lot of puck touches, then you can't solidify your game. And then you get lower minutes overall. So it's just a bad cycle of him not getting the minutes, him getting less confident, him not getting those touches. And now he's where he's at right now.
I still think he's like a can't miss guy. Like I when we had our first episode with Rachel and you're talking about the 2020 draft, like I don't remember how much you guys watched him, but like when he was in the QMJHL, he was like way too good. Like it was literally like a man playing against boys out there. And he like didn't even need to try. He didn't look like he was trying. And the Rangers just don't put their young players in a position to succeed. Like if you were smart, I don't think last year or even this year, like you don't send him back. I don't know how old he is now, if he's eligible to go back to junior, but you wouldn't send him back. But you play him in spots where you can shelter him, you know, teach him the games. You're not throwing him out there as a grunt. Or
like
don't
Lucas
shelter
Raymond
him.
Isn't being sheltered at all. Anton Lundell isn't being sheltered.
I mean,
right now he's playing 16 minutes a night on a elite team and he's playing first, second line minutes against good competition. You know, you don't need to shelter these guys. You just need to give them and let them
put
run.
Put them
it, right?
in a position Rangers, to succeed. Yeah.
Put them in the position to succeed, but the Rangers just never give them that opportunity. And it's partly because they shouldn't have had them in the first place because they were too good and had the depth and they didn't need them. But it's also just, you know, bad coaching, bad development that's been going on for a decade.
This year, their possession numbers are still atrocious. Like if you looked at their Corsi for the year is like worse than Ottawa and Arizona.
Is this a good argument that you shouldn't take best available player? You should take best available position that you need.
But he still
you
is.
You always take available.
I agree. Lafreniere is still a problem.
I think they're saying they should trade him.
All right, I'm going to be back in a sec. My cat's screaming bloody murder at the door, so I'm going to go.
Oh, no, Bob. Trust fall, Bob.
So like it's they never put him in the spot to succeed. Like you play him on like this, like if you're a smart team with Lafreniere, you take him and you played him on like your second line last year, give him a lot of offensive zone starts, maybe with like Zibanejad or who's the second line center? Strom.
Strom, yeah.
And I don't know, Strom and some other winger on their team, right? They played him as like a grinder essentially, and I mean the possession numbers Rangers possession numbers are atrocious.
Realistically, like for the longest time, the Rangers are getting caved in every single night, but Shesterkin has saved them like 25 goals over the year, which, and their goal differential is 22. So they'd be middle of the pack.
Yeah, I think lower middle of the pack. That's a good transition into your Jack Adams, you know, voting. It's pretty funny. So the NHL, I think it was the NHL, released like their mid-season votes for Jack Adams Awards on NHL.com.
Yeah. The NHL Network, yeah.
NHL Network, sorry. The top three are Gallant, Mike Sullivan, and Rob Brind'Amour.
Yep. And then Martin creatively sent, was it Martin?
No, it was me.
It was you.
As it is every year, coincidentally, the top three goalies in the league in goals saved above expected are Igor Shesterkin, Tristan Jarry, and Frederik Andersen.
This was funny.
and it's like the same. Every single time. That's always what it is.
Fucking goalies, man.
If you get a good goalie, you outperform expectations, and then you therefore get coach of the year. So just pray, if you want coach of the year, just pray you get a hot goalie.
Basically, if you want to win coach of the year or even MVP, right? It's always your team is like projected to be like middle of the pack, but then your goalie, you know, saves the day and you make the playoffs. You squeak into the playoffs. I mean, maybe not the Rangers case. That the Rangers are bound for regression eventually. Like you can't win the way they're playing.
Yeah, they're not going to.
But
whether it happens this season or next season, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way.
Well, they're not missing the playoffs, that's for sure. It's crazy the divide between the top teams in the East and the worst. Like, basically, the top of the league and bottom of the league.
The playoffs in the East were determined two weeks into the season.
Yeah, like, there's such a, like, there's like a huge divide between the eighth best team and the ninth best team.
Yeah,
not even close.
The playoffs in the East are set. It's just like kind of your seeding and what bracket you're in. If you're smart, this is a sidetrack. But if you're in the Atlantic and you're smart, you try to get the wild card spot. So you get the Metro bracket. You try to get the first wild card spot.
Yeah,
and avoid having to play either Tampa or Florida in round one.
Yeah, you try to get
and the round Rangers two. Sure. Yeah,
you definitely want the Rangers, even if you have to deal with Shesterkin.
Well, as a Leafs fan, you want anyone but Boston. That's what you want.
It's going to be crazy. The Leafs are on pace for their best season in history and are looking to finish third in their division.
Yeah. And anyways, to get back to the Jack Adams conversation, apparently Sheldon Keefe didn't receive any votes again.
That's typical.
Out of like 17 people, he only got like one fifth place vote or something like that. So that's
that seems a little like mental, man. Like that's pretty stupid considering they could win like the East. If they win the East, like, or their division, he definitely deserves a lot of conversation.
Yeah, they're five games behind and, you know, 8 to 10 points behind. So they you know, they win their next five games, they're in second or they're in first. Right,
but, like,
fairly, you know, not exactly a crazy thing to do.
But also, like, I mean, Minnesota's coach didn't get, I don't think he was in, he's not in the top three, but he's like done a great job with that team.
Minnesota's coach, like
Dean Evason.
Well, first off, you talk about hot streaks and players outperforming expectations. I sent this in the fucking group chat. Ryan Hartman, Nick Foligno, and Matt Zuccarello.
No, Marcus Foligno.
Sorry, what did I say? Nick Foligno?
Nick.
Okay, sorry. Marcus Foligno, Ryan Hartman, and Matt Zuccarello having the best years ever. Like Ryan Hartman on pace for like 70 points or some shit. Matt Zuccarello on pace for like point per game. Marcus Foligno having an insane offense. The guy, Marcus Foligno, has been like a pure defensive specialist his entire life, and then just randomly this year, suddenly he's an offensive star. Like, what is going on?
He talked about it on,
and he talked about chemistry and how that's impacting it and shit. I don't know what it is. They're
getting rid of Suter and Parise was huge.
But you know who isn't performing through all of this is Kevin Fiala, right? Like he's been terrible this year.
I don't know what's going
on. Spurgeon's been injured half the year. Talbot was injured for a couple of weeks.
But it's also partly because like Joel Eriksson-Ek is still coming into his own, and is coming into his own as like an elite.
Yeah. He's going to be a defensive player.
Like, yeah. Like he's good. I don't know. They just got a good team, and they're just kind of realizing it.
They are good. It's just, I don't see how there isn't regression coming for those, some of those guys based off of what,
like Zuccarello's over point per game. Like that's insane.
Ryan Hartman's on like 70 point pace.
Can you sit back from your microphone, Martin? You're screaming again.
Sorry.
Regression's coming for? The goalie killer, Chris Kreider. I mean,
yeah, he's having, he has 30. Yeah. What the hell is that?
He has more goals than he scored in any of his seasons ever, and it's halfway through the season. Like,
yeah, he's leading ridiculous. The NHL in goals. There, if you look at some of the projections, though, some people are still projecting he won't end up top 10 in goals because, like, it's just like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, yeah, models are just looking at it like, no, he has to regress. Like, what's going
on? I have him, I predicted he would be their fourth line winger in 2026.
He's going to be a 50 goal scorer by then. He gets better with age. He's gonna add 5 goals a season by then and hit 50 goals.
Healy got better with age, right? After 1507?
Yeah, definitely.
I thought he was going to make the Olympic team for a second.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
My buddy sent me that, and he thought it was like legit, like a legit rumor. And I was like, dude, Healy hasn't played in like 4 years.
Dr. Lupo coming out of hiding.
Get all the boys back together.
It would have been fire though if like Heater showed up.
Okay, stop getting off track. Who else didn't? There was someone else who didn't get consideration that I was like, what the hell? Oh, a Florida's coach, or even John Cooper, Andrew Burnett, John Cooper.
John Cooper never gets any respect.
Yeah, because again, Cooper, you're looking at these guys, and they're like, oh, this team is. Supposed to, this team's won, you know, 2 Stanley Cups in a row.
I kind of think it's because they know John Cooper could win every year. So it's kind of like, how do we say this year over like that other year?
It's like, basically, this is what these awards are. It's like, what team is overperforming? What team, and I think it's also, as we pointed out, like what team's goalie is saving the team, right? Or, you know.
Even nobody's talking about the Ducks right now, still. We're halfway through the season, they're second in their division.
Well, the Pacific Division and Western Conference is actually like atrocious.
Garbage, yeah. It's pretty garbage, man.
Yeah, like, but the Ducks
there's maybe
but
2.5.
But the Ducks were also
there.
Expected to be shit. Remember that, right? Everyone thought the Ducks were going to be awful.
Well, where did Troy Terry come from, right? Like where did that? Yeah. I mean, maybe you expected him to become like a second line player, but like to be like point per game out of nowhere. You know,
yeah, and gets off.
Trevor Zegras is good. I mean,
like, Zegras outperforming expectations.
People had Troy Terry as a lock. Like when the NHLers were going to the Olympics, they had him as a lock for going to the Olympics.
I don't think
there's
any way. That's crazy.
I don't know, man. They said it was like some people were like
crazy,
pretty adamant that it was a lock.
I mean, the Olympics isn't taking the best player in the last 3 years, like the best players.
People were talking about Kadri making it now because he's top 5 in points in the NHL, going for Canada.
There's a lot of recency bias.
Imagine Kadri on Team Canada.
Well, yeah, we'll tie. Recency bias. I mean, they're not going to take a guy who hasn't performed that well this season, but been good the last 2 seasons.
Well, I know, but I mean, to say is that like
that's what they want.
What team? So what I mean to say is like, what team was shit last year? I talk about like award voting. What team was shit last year, but you know is now good this year? That's a coach of the year, you know. Or it is crazy. Like Nazem Kadri, if you said Nazem Kadri would be on the Olympic team even to start this year, right? Like there are players who are even considering his season that he's had so far are way better than Nazem Kadri.
The only reason why you wouldn't take him in the Olympics. Is because in the playoffs he has an awful habit of screwing his team over.
Like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's the other thing. He's going to get a suspension in the gold medal game, man.
Yeah, yeah. He wouldn't be a good idea to bring, but it would be legendary to bring him. That's my opinion.
Anyway, one last topic for the day, and then we'll call it a night because we're almost at an hour.
Yeah, I want to talk about Pavelski and how he's also point per game right now. He's on pace for 90 points.
I think that Pavelski is great. And like this, like if you're talking about players who age well, his game is all about like being in front of the net, tipping pucks, jamming away, right? And I think that that's attributed to his success, because I think that like he's literally been for as long as I can remember, like one of the best players, like tipping pucks in front of the net.
I've said this multiple times, I feel like, on this podcast, but they used to call him the American Crosby, like back in the early 2010s and stuff.
Like just a good grinder out there, yeah.
Like he's a good player.
He's massively underrated, I feel, compared to like what he especially recently.
Because in the same note that the people were saying Terry was a lock, no talk about
Pavelski. No talk about Pavelski on pace for 90 points.
Captain. Like
yeah. And also, so, and the reason I wanted to talk about him, besides the fact that he's having an insane season, is the fact that he's a UFA along with Radulov at the end of this year. And the Stars, at least as of right now, aren't in the playoffs.
Even if they do make the playoffs, okay, it's actually kind of crazy, like looking at those, the eighth place seed, like none of them are trying to get it because they're just going to get spanked by Colorado.
Yeah. But to the point is that if the Stars aren't going to make the playoffs, do they consider using those guys as rentals? If Pavelski's on pace for 90 points, that's of a rental.
There's no way they bail from trying to make the playoffs.
I'm thinking just
because they've talked about, like Elliot Friedman talks about this all the time, is they want the ticket revenue from being in the playoffs. Yeah, they want it badly. And they're close. Like, they're really
close.
They're
very close. They are very close. They are very close.
And trading Pavelski tanks it. Like, automatically, you're not making the playoffs after
that. Yeah. There's nothing you're doing. But also, they do have, I feel, might some regression coming from Braden Holtby and, or, you know.
Yeah, they'll be
or they don't see that. Not they, keeping they, a 90 point pace at 37 years old. 37 years old.
I mean, the trade deadline's coming up soon, so
it's not
they could add.
Not that what's like coming.
Yeah, and Dallas can add too, right?
The other thing is what do they do with Klingberg? Is he a rental option? Like, Klingberg's a huge X factor because they could trade him
and that's
still
my thing,
playable
because,
player.
Because Dallas isn't a cup contender, right? Like, maybe they go on a magical run again, but you don't bet on that, right? Mm-hmm. But if you look at their team, the haul for that they can get for the combination of Klingberg, Radulov, and Pavelski is their entire rebuild done. You know, that's 3-4 first round picks that they could get.
They could also trade John Klingberg, just John Klingberg, and they could probably still make the playoffs.
They probably
they'd
could
still have a fighting chance for the playoffs, let's say.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, anything can happen
cause
in the playoffs.
It wouldn't help their cause, but it wouldn't really destroy it because they don't use Klingberg the way he should be used. Like, Klingberg is one of the best defensemen in the NHL.
Eric, they are in a right playoff system. Spot, just FYI.
What? No.
One, two.
The rentals aren't going to come out
of
the
wild
West.
Card. Come on.
Oh, sorry. They're wild card.
Yeah, they're a wild card playoff team in the West.
Yeah, they are.
And they'll stay that way.
Rental players are going to come out of the East because all those teams know they're done. Like, there's going to be a lot. I think in the West, there's a lot of teams who have a chance. So they're going to try to fight.
They're not quite in a wild card spot, though, because the Flames could, you know, there are so many games.
Yeah, they're battling. They're battling with the Flames, for sure.
And Sharks, even, you know.
There's a lot of teams, yeah.
Sharks get back Timo Meier and Thomas Hertl and fucking let's go drive. Anyways.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Flames are more likely. Look at the games played so far. I mean, they're 2 points behind with three games in hand.
Yeah. Regardless, it's just the Stars, theoretically, if they decided no playoffs, could complete a rebuild right on the spot. They have Rupe Hintz, Denis Gurianov. You know, they have
Robertson,
who's actually having a good year,
and you did
another great year. Yeah, I did not think he was going to do point per game again. That was wrong of me. I was very off on that. Awesome. Yeah. But
there's no way they trade for a rebuild though, because their fans would be pissed at them also.
They're going to trade Klingberg. They better trade.
And they
Radulov.
Have Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn, who are only continuing to get worse. So at yes. $9.5 and $9.8 million for 4 and 6 years respectively. So yeah. I just think it would be so interesting if they did. They'd get so much for those guys. Like Pavelski, you get a first and a prospect the way he's playing right now. Right? Radulov, you probably get a first rounder. Like,
well, have you heard
prospect?
Have you heard what they want for Klingberg?
What is it? I haven't heard.
It's a first, and I'm pretty sure top, like a blue or A level blue chip or
that's
A level prospect.
That's what I would want. That's what yeah. I would want. The thing is, they put themselves in a bad position by making Klingberg play like shit for the last 2 or 3 years. but like Klingberg at the top of his game is worth that. Like if
they'll still get that. Like if you think yeah. about it, because
like if Klingberg was on Colorado, man, everyone were talking about him being a top 10 defenseman or top 20 defenseman in the NHL, and that's what he was before. What's his name? Rick Bonus took over. Like he was, and then the second he took over, just. Literally up here,
but the team got. They also had to get rid of their coach. So why, like, they
yeah,
didn't
yeah, yeah,
get rid of him. He stepped away and stuff.
He had to the alcohol abuse and everything.
Yeah,
but still, they haven't put themselves in the best scenario to situation.
And Rick Bonus then led them to the cup that year. So like, of course, they led them to the cup final.
They didn't deserve
so
to be there, but that's besides the point.
But like, they don't see that.
Yeah, they don't see it that way. I get that. But yeah, that's all I wanted to talk about. I think we covered okay. everything.
Well, yeah.
Can we talk about Eric's haircut? Looks pretty haircut? Short on the sides. I've never seen it that short for you.
Yeah,
nice fade.
It's
stylish out there. Thing. Nick, give me your last thought. One final yeah. sentence. I love.
I'm saying, hopefully, shout out Fleury. I hope we get to see him in Edmonton win a cup. I think they could win a cup with Fleury.
Oh my!
Shout out my boy Wade Allison. Hope he gets better. From Cali, made history in the NHL this year. I've always been saying he's the best, and everyone's been going after me for
and
that.
And then they sent him
well.
To the AHL. Yeah.
Well, they already have two goalies. He got his chance, and he made history. So then shout out McNiven. He got his first NHL action, and then shout
up,
out
yeah.
our Talking Hockey TikTok. It's a
yeah,
great content.
Talking
Go
Hockey
follow.
TikTok. Go follow him. We're gonna we post more often on TikTok than Instagram.
Yeah,
we have a dedicated.
I'm gonna get
TikTok
back
worker.
To posting soon. It's just
okay.
that
okay.
With current work situation, it's impossible. Literally,
just turn off your work phone. Take a day off, Eric.
I literally can't take a day off. That's the issue.
You have vacation
we're
days.
So
you're not allowed to use.
We're so short-staffed. And we're raising money, so our CEO can't even do business stuff. He has to do talking to investors stuff, which means I'm not like taking over his role, but I'm taking on part of his workload. It's a lot, essentially.
Sounds like complaint, Eric.
Martin, what are you
not
doing
a complaint.
For talking hockey
it's
these
just,
days?
I'm excited. I'm excited.
Martin,
my
Martin,
equity's
you
gonna. Have... Martin doesn't do shit.
Martin has access to the talking
I,
hockey account, but what
I
was
get
the last
so depressed looking at comments, man. It just makes me angry and sad. I have to not do it.
I agree. One thing that I have, it's really helped my mental
it's
health.
It's exhausting.
Yeah,
it's mentally
it is,
exhausting looking
it is.
At this shit, man.
It is. It is. It is really
difficult. Negative comments? I thought I see positive comments.
Oh, man.
I mean, not totally.
Not
but...
negative, just argumentative.
Oh,
and I'm like
in the
not
DMs.
Willing to get into the arguments.
True. Yeah.
Do you and ever get DMs on TikTok?
No, because you have to follow. People have to follow each other back. Like, you have to be mutuals in order to DM.
And
no,
Nick,
that's a healthy thing to do.
Nick, part of the reason you haven't been seeing very many, like, aggressive things, especially on the Instagram, is because I haven't been, like, commenting back.
There's also no posts. There's also no posts.
I
saw
no
a lot of
controversial
posts.
There's not
no
as many
controversial
like, compared
they're,
to...
They're really comment sometimes. You're a fucking idiot for posting this. Or like,
yeah.
you have no
basic stuff too.
Well, no, so I got a, actually, I take that back. I got a ton of that when we posted the top 10. I did say at me if you have a problem with this. I got a lot of those.
You get a lot of ads.
Yeah, and I had a ton of people in my personal DM.
You got like 100 or 200 comments or something.
Nick, people in the world can't even agree that we should get vaccinated. They're definitely not going to agree about hockey stuff. Well,
people went to my personal DMs, and then they were also just commenting on my photos, like how bad my wrist was.
I was getting at one point so many
drive people.
Yeah, they were commenting like drive that, on my photos, and I was really creeped out. And I was just like, I don't know what this is. This is so weird. And like everyone that's commented on that is getting notifications.
They did it to one of my pictures. I went private so fast. And I was like, nope, like this is not happening.
Not a thing. Yeah, that was smart. I should have done that.
Alrighty, boys. Thanks for joining us this week, Nick. It's always a pleasure to have you. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Guys. You guys want to see me again? Let them know.
Yes, let us know.
Thank you everyone for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.